chapter 23, seeing is not always believing. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9.
I think the old saying, seeing is believing, is vastly overrated. I know I'm swimming against the tide here, and that our culture has elevated this proverb almost to the level of sacred truth. But I don't think it covers nearly as many bases as its press reports claim. Let me explain. It's not at all uncommon to hear someone say he can't believe in God because he's never seen him. Remember the famous line of the first Soviet cosmonaut in space? God must not exist because he didn't see him up there. This kind of logic, or illogic, has been increasing in the last several years. If I can't see God, I won't believe in him. Seeing is believing, they say. Oh, really? I doubt you've seen air, but would you try to live in a vacuum? I doubt you've seen the center of the earth, but would you bet there isn't one? I doubt you've seen sound waves, but would you cut off your ears? The fact is, we believe in a lot of things that we've never seen and don't understand. Did you know that there are four basic forces in the physical world? Scientists talk about gravity, the electromagnetic force, the strong force, and the weak force. Everybody knows about gravity. It's what keeps us from flying off into space. Electromagnetism includes forms of energy like light and radio waves. The strong and the weak forces are found in the interior of atoms and keep them from blowing apart. Just because we have names for these things, however, doesn't mean we've either seen them or understand them. In fact, we don't know much more about any of these forces than we ever have, at least in terms of why they act as they do. What exactly is gravity? How does it work? Why does it work? If we understood that, we'd all be flying around in anti-gravity vehicles, but so far I've seen them only in the cosmic pages and in science fiction. So does that mean I stop believing in gravity? Hardly. I believe in it because I see its effects all around me. And that is exactly why I also believe in God. I have never seen God in the direct physical sense, but I have seen his handiwork, especially in my current line of work. I see him every day in the lives of people in pain. In October 1982, the following quote from Johnny Erickson Tada appeared on the cover of Moody Monthly. "People with disabilities are God's best visual aid to demonstrate who he really is. His power shows up best in weakness. And who, by the world's standards, is weaker than the mentally or physically disabled? As the world watches, these people persevere. They live, love, trust, and obey him. Eventually, the world is forced to say how great their God must be to inspire this kind of loyalty." But as good as that proof is, the ultimate argument for the existence of God is the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. As the writer of the book of Hebrews said, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being," Hebrews 1:3. Jesus himself claimed, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father," John 14, verses 7 and 9. Jesus was God's visual aid to the world to demonstrate what God is like. Yet he knew that people would not believe just because he said so. That is why he also declared, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. John 14:11. "Now you're talking," someone says. "Miracles, that's what I need to see. If I could just see a miracle, then I'd believe, but not before." Oh, really? Jesus was God's audiovisual aid to the world, yet many people saw him and still disbelieved. They saw the Lord of glory in human flesh and called it a baby in a manger. They saw spectacular miracles and called them tricks. They saw powerful exorcisms and called them devilish. They saw divine wisdom in action and called it crazy. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead and called for his murder. They saw the Lamb of God and called out, "Crucify, crucify." There is a reason the resurrected Jesus said to doubting Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John 20:29. He didn't mean that the less evidence there is, the more we ought to believe. He had produced more than enough evidence. Thomas had been with Jesus for more than 3 years and had seen the miracles and the exorcisms and the divine wisdom in action. He had heard the Lord predict both his crucifixion and his resurrection. All the necessary evidence was there. The only thing lacking was faith. And as Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Jesus still asks that of us today. Though we have not seen him, he calls us to love him. Though we do not see him now, he calls us to believe in him, even if things aren't going so well. And the results when we do so? We are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, which will culminate in the salvation of our souls. Seeing is not always necessary for believing. What is necessary is trust in the one who has shown himself faithful. Placing our faith in him is not gullible, it's smart. Or in Jesus' words, blessed. And that's something I definitely want a piece of.